Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase. Only at tomboyx.com.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Jamie Loftus.
My name's Caitlin Durante.
And this is the Bechdel cast, which you're listening to. My name's Jamie Loftus.
Oh God, we've already ruined it.
No, this is, that was, that.
No.
That was my
so
bit.
Far so good. Oh.
My bit.
Oh, God damn it.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're back. Caitlin just read her first Alison Bechdel book.
Oh, I didn't finish it. I started it.
Okay. Well, but, just right at the top, we're not qualified to be doing this.
No.
Oh, but you know what we haven't mentioned in a couple weeks is our college degrees.
Yeah.
I have one college degree.
I have two college degrees.
Okay, good.
Now that everyone knows, both of them are in film, so that's why we're qualified.
I'm not going to say what mine is in.
Okay.
Mine could be in anything. We don't know. I'm a woman in STEM. JK.
That's becoming a recurring, that's a motif of ours now, too.
Women in STEM?
Yeah.
Well, because any movie would become more welcoming to women if there were a character that was a woman in STEM.
Sure.
That's a foolproof movie theory to get five nipples from us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, women in STEM were there, steampunk culture was not. And that's really all it takes to get me on board. So we're a podcast, we talk about the roles of women in movies.
Yeah, usually they're not portrayed very well, and we're here to call it out.
It's funny, it used to take us so long to say the premise, but yeah. Now it's just like...
Our podcast is still in its infancy, you know? We're still learning, we're getting better.
Okay.
Anyway, should we introduce our guest?
Yeah, okay.
He has a show that he does at UCB called Shitty Jobs, and he was a writer for the show Workaholics on Comedy Central, Ben Rogers.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ben.
Now, because you are a straight white man, you are bound. We have strapped you to the chair, and you're only allowed to speak when spoken to. That's just one of the rules of our podcast.
Yeah, I can't believe I signed up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did send you the long list of rules. Well,
I'll admit, I just skimmed it over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now here I am strapped.
Typical man.
Well, we pepper spray you if you interject.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my only rule. I just want pepper spray someone. That's on my bucket list.
Oh, really?
Along with flipping the table.
Do you have pepper spray that you, like, carry around?
No.
I mean, I'm really biting my tongue because you guys could have done a much better job taping me to this chair.
Okay, well,
I don't want to mansplain it.
Maybe stop squirming so much. The audio's going to pick up, and Aristotle's going to have a hell of a time because he's tied to his chair as well.
That's right.
This is a hard chair.
Maybe
to
we
produce.
Should not have men a part of this anymore. We're just making more works for ourselves.
Nah, but it's like cardio for us.
I'm glad
tape
I'm part of the discovery.
Struggling. Yeah, I mean, it's like because you put up quite a struggle, and we were able to, you know, flex our various. What are you? Name an arm muscle.
Delts. Nope.
Biceps.
Biceps.
That's a good one.
We're going to be what are your delts?
Your delts? I don't know.
Deltoids?
No. Your
deltoids?
What's the...
Deltoids are back, I think. Okay. Back muscles.
Here's something that I don't know what the name
is. You got your tries.
Your tries, your
bis. Oh, my God.
Your tries, bis, shoulders, and there's three parts of the shoulder.
I'm having a panic attack.
Let's
what
stop.
Are the... What's the name
Let's
for the...
Let's talk creatine.
For real, what's the name of the muscle? The little, it's underneath your knee. And it's a little, it's maybe, I want to say it's a ligament, maybe. Anyways.
Okay. ACL?
Mine hurt. I don't
know. Your ACL? No. Your American Civil Liberty?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Mine hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just making a statement. Yeah. Political statement. Okay, so we're talking about, well, wait. Can I say the movie we're talking about? We should let Ben say it.
I want to say it. It's A Dog's Purpose. There it is.
Okay. Have I not suggested A Dog's Purpose?
What, that we, like, watch it?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay, maybe.
That would be fun
else.
To break down the roles of the female dogs in the movie.
Yeah. Where do bitches stand in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's crazy because we're going to let Ben say it, but it's actually going to describe both of us.
Yeah.
Wild.
Take it away.
Yeah, do it.
So my pick was Single White Female. For some reason, I was thinking about how I'll never fulfill a childhood fantasy of living in a building with an old-fashioned elevator. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I want to live in either like a cool airstream on the ocean or a building with an old-fashioned elevator. I'm starting to come to terms that both those things aren't going to happen. And I remembered that I was trying to think of some good old-fashioned elevator movies, which
was... So that was your criteria for this?
It was big in the 90s. And then you happened to email me, and I was like, oh, this would be good
Perfect
for this.
Perfect excuse, yeah.
Good for this
podcast. This movie came out the same week I was born.
Wow.
Wild.
Wow.
I know. I wish that my mom was at a screening of it when I was born, but...
She would have named you Hetty.
She would have named me Hetty, but I was a C-section. Did I ever tell you I was born twice?
What?
I'll tell you another time.
That's insane.
You were born twice, so like they C-section and then put you back in and
yeah.
then you came out?
A vaginal birth?
No, this is true. Okay, so my mom had to have this like experimental womb steroid put in her to have me, and so she had to fly down to North Carolina from Boston like 2 months before I was actually born, and they like took me out and checked, and they're like, the experiment's working, and they put me back in.
And then, that's why you have these huge biceps.
That's why I'm very strong.
You have huge biceps.
I'm spiritually strong, but I'm also extremely buff.
That is insane. I've never heard anything like mm-hmm. that. Wow.
And then, here's the best part. The doctor who invented those womb steroids later gave the first successful penis transplant.
Oh, wow.
I would like to credit myself.
Yeah, you're a part
as
of the
inspiration.
You were part of that.
He saw this fat little baby. He's like, you know what I should do next? On to the next conquest.
Yeah. Save this baby. Now I'm going to save a penis.
Now I'm going to save this guy. This
under what circumstances would you need a penis transplant? Like if yours got chopped off? What?
I kind of remember that story. It was like his dick burned off.
Oh, my God.
It was like some tragic accident.
Okay, I'll look it up. But my dad texted me that.
I'm totally wrong. Like,
my dad.
Just some weird story I made up.
He's like, actually a cancer survivor.
Guys, oh, that is really? It. Yeah, that is it.
His penis wasn't burned off.
Yeah, that is it.
In a house fire. Uh-huh.
I created a horror story of like a guy all fucking burned up.
Here's a great.
He's like, please save my dick.
First American to have penis transplant says it's starting to take shape.
Oh,
I love it. My dad texted me that article when that like happened early last year. And he was like, did you know this was the guy? This guy's the reason you're alive. I was like, whoa.
Was he like an OBGYN? And then he was like, I'm going to switch to other genitals.
I don't know. I mean, he was a surgeon of some.
I see.
Manner. I hope that's the case.
Yeah. He's like,
because that's
these,
really. Yeah.
All these vaginas.
What if I was
go
too fat a baby?
See, I saw it as like, you know, we're all the same.
Oh, that. One,
right, that kind of fits
one.
In with the podcast.
Right. Oh, see, that's nice. I was going to say, maybe I was just a big... The womb steroids worked a little too well, one might argue. I was an 11-pound baby.
Wow.
I know.
That's insane.
Wow.
That's too big.
Is it because you were so... You're tall. Is it because you were like a long baby?
Well, are you tall because of the steroids?
Excellent question. I don't know. It also
you're
calls...
intimidating. You're here. You're pounding
Thank
Mike's
you.
Harder lemonade.
That's true. And I do that almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except the time we both. Well, no, you.
Last week I drank some Hennessy.
Yeah. You had me beat real good last. You were not chugging, but like swigging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was walking into essentially a drinking contest.
This is a speakeasy, essentially. The speakeasy above a comic book shop.
Two wasted, soft-spoken ladies.
Single white females.
Single white females, thank you.
Slowly poisoning themselves. Oh, that was a good transition.
That was great.
Thank you.
So single white female, what did you guys think?
Well, first we talk about...
Caitlin summarizes the
simmer
movie.
Simmer down, Ben.
I'm curious, because I was watching, the whole time I was watching, I was like, they're going to fucking hate this.
No. I went into it thinking I probably would, okay. But I actually... I would go so far as to say I liked it.
I went into this movie with no context at all. I'd never heard of it. And then so I just turned it on without reading anything in advance. And I liked it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's
yeah.
a rare experience you don't have to get often.
You can tell. Yeah. We were saying before you got here that it's hard to tell what genre the movie is at first. And, mm-hmm. And that was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed it.
This is the first time in Bechdelcast history where neither of us had seen the movie prior to
That's true.
The episode. Usually Jamie hasn't seen the movie.
And one time I didn't even watch the movie.
Whoops.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, The Matrix.
Listen at The Matrix episode if you want to hear me.
Did
really...
you admit?
Not until
Not for like
very
3 months.
There's...
Oh, wow.
I did an okay job.
Yeah, I would have never known. Luckily, our guest was very talkative, and then he and I were just talking most
oh,
of the
trust
time.
Me.
And then
it was mostly you guys, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just here sweating more than usual.
Well, anyway, Single White Female, just watched it a couple of days ago. I don't think I'd even heard of it either.
I don't think so. I think yeah. when you emailed us, that was the first time I'd ever heard of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this sounds like a familiar
thing. I weirdly reference it a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do people know what you're talking about?
Now I'm realizing probably not. They're probably just like, why does this guy keep saying single white female? I often describe people's friendship as single white female.
I feel like people could think you were saying a number of things mm-hmm. when you say that.
Yeah.
Just like announcing what you're looking for. Any single mm-hmm. white females around?
Yeah,
you?
I'm sure.
Yeah. You could just sound like a pervert.
One of the many yeah. things I do to sound like a pervert.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. It's based on a book called SWF Seeks Same.
Which I'm glad the movie had the sense to take that part out of it
yeah.
because it would be pretty racist otherwise. A single white female to also seek another single white
it's
female.
Just such and it's such a terrible title for even whoever wrote the guy who wrote the book.
Yeah.
Somebody should have told him single white female is a far superior title.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Good I don't title. Even know if single white female is a good title either. Better than
SWF Seeks Same.
Yeah, true.
So wait, do the you haven't done a summary in a while.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Single White Female is about a young woman who is living in New York City, and I didn't write one down for this one, so this is all memory, baby.
Oh, I like
baby.
It. Yeah, freestyle.
Okay, so she's living in New York. She has a boyfriend. She finds
Love
out
it.
That he has cheated on her
no.
that day.
No!
And she's like, get out of here, man.
Aww.
So she puts out an ad for a roommate. A few people come by. Not all of them are great.
One of them seems okay. One of them seems like she's going to pick her before the actual
yeah, that
one
was
shows
a cool
up.
Moment.
That was weird.
The main character, Allie, ends up picking this woman named Hetty to be her roommate. And then Hetty shows some problem areas. She's...
Does she?
She does. Like, weird things start to happen. She starts dressing like her. She kind of, like, gets a dog without letting anyone know. She presumably throws the dog off a balcony.
Presumably. She definitely does.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't see it on
we
screen.
We didn't see it.
But she probably definitely did that. She...
Did she?
You don't...
No, I'm kidding. I'm not gonna die on this hill. She did.
And then, meanwhile, she gets back with her... Allie gets back with her boyfriend, and then they get engaged. That makes Hetty even more crazy. And then there's some violence, and there's some... This is not a good recap. I should have prepped it.
She's just trying to have it
you
all.
You hit the major yeah. points, I
Thank
feel
you.
Like. No,
she's just trying
you got
to have it.
It
all.
Yeah.
But you can't. And we learn this again. And, you know, we learned that, and I thought this when I was watching it today, and I was like, say that later, Jamie. You save that for the cast. I thought to myself, the only thing that single white females have to fear is single white females themselves.
Wow.
I know.
Profound.
It's not adapted from anything. It's just something I thought.
All right. I'm gonna fact check that later. I feel like maybe you stole it, but...
I didn't. I would never steal.
Mm-mm.
That's the thing.
Anyway, so the movie, that's the story. Basically, this roommate who moves in with Allie is a crazy person, although let's not necessarily use that as a label. But
yeah, it's a little insensitive. I know. I didn't expect that kind of tone on this podcast.
I know.
Especially where the story goes. I mean, it really makes you feel for her. She's got borderline personality disorder.
Definitely. She is dealing with a childhood trauma where she maybe also drowned her sister. Maybe it was an accident. Who knows?
This is like how we met, kind of.
When
you started to try to drown all my clothes. And you threw my hamster off a balcony. But we ended up being great friends. It ended a little
And you
different.
Killed the other baby in that womb during the second birth, right?
I ate the baby. Yeah. I assumed that was how. I was so ready for her to say, like, but I absorbed the twin. But, you know.
No, yeah, she drowned her. They opened on, like, a weird shot of the two girls, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, they're putting makeup on each other.
Yeah, they're putting makeup on.
Yeah.
So, wait, when did you see this movie for the first time, Ben?
In the mid-90s at some point. It was a frequent cable movie, I feel like. This is the era of the erotic thriller. So this is, like, it came out the same year as Basic Instinct. And it was, and there's a lot of nudity in the movie.
Yes.
Surprisingly, which I didn't remember, which definitely would factor into, like, me as a kid wanting to watch this. And, like, right. All the, like, soft core movies of the era, which, you know, this is a great 90s timepiece. Like, there's a lot of really funny moments, but it definitely is the kind of movie that, I think this is the erotic thriller at its peak. Before there was internet porn, before everybody could see, like, hardcore pornography everywhere, people would go to the movies. Basically, HBO ate it up, I feel like. What you would see now in Game of Thrones, people would go to see, like, Sliver or Single White Female. This is, like, one that I feel like doesn't get talked about as much, but is part of that era.
Right.
Lots of sex and silhouette.
Yeah.
A lot.
Lots of, like, where you can just make out, like, sweaty backs.
Right. And you're just like, oh.
And a trope that you often point out, Jamie, is in specifically, like, horror thriller movies, girls in tank tops where you can see their hard nips.
Oh, my God.
So much of that in this
Wet
movie.
Girls in tank tops that are scared. Yeah. Happens so much.
It's basically every scene in this movie.
Oh, I noticed.
Yeah, this movie is made to titillate.
Yeah, lots of hard nips.
A lot of hard nips.
Lots of hard nips. You do get to see.
And everybody looks at each other like they want to fuck throughout the movie.
At all times.
All characters. Even some of the, like, did you guys notice in that scene where Hetty goes to cash her check, I think?
Yes.
And the girl's kind of flirting with her at the check's cash. There's, like, weird sexual tension between them.
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
Wow, everyone wants to fuck in this movie.
Yeah.
1992 is very horny. I get it.
I was born.
Right.
I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure it was like a test tube. But anyways, I was talking to my mom about this movie on the phone last night because I was telling her I had to watch it. And she was like, oh, who's in that movie? And I was like, oh, it's Bridget Fonda and Jennifer Jason Leigh. And my mom said what she always says about women that she does not think are very attractive. And she said, oh, yeah, like Jennifer Jason Leigh, it has like a very earthy beauty.
Oh,
which is what my mom says when, like, a woman
is...
That's
a real mom dig.
Like, yeah, when a woman is, like, bathed and, like, relatively symmetrical, but my mom still finds her unfuckable. Mm-hmm. Earthy beauty.
Earthy.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it without, like, hurting someone's feelings too bad.
I think she's great in the movie. I think both actresses are really good.
Yeah.
And it's good casting. I think she does pull off... I mean, it's also... Because I'm sure if she walked into, like, this room right now, we would all be like, oh, wow. And she's, what, 20 years older? Mm-hmm. We would all be like, she's so beautiful. But they do a really good job of, and I guess this is, like, wardrobe and, like, the makeup department, of making her look, like, more frumpy and, like, awkward.
And they look exactly alike.
Yeah.
And they're
able to flip that or towards the end where it's like, oh, wow, she looks great.
Although who, like, it was a very fun 90s trope that it's like, oh yeah, this is the haircut you want to replicate. Like,
terrible
this,
haircut.
Like, I want to look like I'm wearing a bicycle helmet at all times.
Bridget Fonda is beautiful, and it's like,
you'd never know.
Just got this weird, like, clown haircut.
One of my notes was that for a movie where the characters are, like, work in a fashion adjacent, there are an awful lot of bowl cuts.
Can we talk about her job, by the way?
Clip-on earrings. Yeah.
Can we talk about her career of, like, it's fashion stuff.
Fashion web design.
We do fashion-y computer thing. The computer aspect of the movie is great. Like, because she puts her, like, I guess it's a want ad in the newspaper, but she does it through email, which is, like, to show us that she's a tech-savvy person.
Yeah.
And this is, like, one email. Like, no one knew what the fuck it was. And, like, so she has this computer business that has something to do with fashion.
Right.
They're very loosey-goosey about it.
I think you can, like, design fashion on the computer. I don't know.
There's so many questions I had about her job that eventually, like, I mean, I guess the movie did what it was supposed to. Eventually, I just let go of those questions and was like, you know what? She owns her own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did like that about
her. You're right. I was like, at first, you're like, what the fuck is this? And you're kind of distracted at the way, like, technology is advanced and, like, oh, yeah. But after, you know, in the third act, you don't care.
I would love to ask someone in 1992, does this make sense to you as something you would find potentially useful?
Because I mean, the software is so dated that, like, who knows what
it was.
I mean, we still do it in movies, and it's it's like computers do whatever you need the story to do.
Exactly.
Like, and there's magic. Oh,
enhanced.
This person has a super computer.
Yeah. I love it when there's, like, a photo that's not high resolution, but
the
24
thing, yeah.
And then, like, it's still like crystal clear, and they're like, oh, it's that person.
Oh.
Ooh, mystery solved. But I do like that her job, she has her own business, and she is, I guess, a software developer, ? Hard to say.
And
she has an email account. That we know.
She used to have a partner, and they had a rough split. There's a couple of small things that they have to put in there that I feel like are going overboard to protect, like, why she's so stuck with this new roommate. The first scene where she's with her boyfriend, I can't remember his name.
Sam.
Yeah. Who's Steven Weber plays him from Wings.
Who's
let off
the hook repeatedly for, like, the movie lets him off the hook again and again. Mm-hmm. But anyways.
She says that she doesn't have any friends except him. Mm-hmm. And that's the only friend that she needs. And then even late, like, when she's at this job interview, she's talking about how she and her partner have, like, a bad split up.
Yeah.
And so she needs all these new clients, and she has a bad reputation, I guess. But I feel like they went out of their way to, like, she could also have friends and still have a fucking crazy roommate.
Right. Yeah. I assumed at first, and I don't know if this is what we were supposed to do or, like, where my mind just went immediately, that her, like, the friend breakup that she had would be relevant at some point. Like, I assumed the two little girls at the beginning of the movie, I'm like, oh, maybe that's Bridget Fonda and her
twin
friend
who looks exactly like her.
I don't know. I was, well, because you find out that the twin was actually alive past birth so late in the movie.
God,
like, contextualizing that scene takes a long time.
I just thought of another weird, like, I guess a homoerotic scene where, or like just sexual tension between two women is when that they do a montage of different girls coming to potential roommates. And one is like hilariously butch, like lesbian that's like talking about fixing stuff up.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, no, no.
Yeah. And she's wearing like a biker jacket and has a bandana on. And then the next person, so they like kind of, I felt like overcompensated with like, hey, this is a lesbian. And then the next person like looks her up and down.
Yeah.
And it's like,
she's like a very hot, horny lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like back to back. Like, that's so weird.
And then like a feminist caricature comes in.
Oh, yeah. She's
and
like,
I'm an incest
survivor. I don't remember it, but I'm pretty sure I was.
My therapist says I'm a survivor of something. And then she's like, I don't cook. Cooking's oppressive.
That montage was great. And they're all like, they give this hot, super hot girl no lines.
No.
She just looks her up and down like, you want to fuck right now? It's so weird.
It is. Really, like, in what world? I don't know. It was crazy.
And so all that leads to the girl from Heather's, who's like the one normal girl. And then she's like about to call. And then I think Sam calls her.
She sees a photo of him on her fridge.
Right, yes, that's what.
And then
Hetty walks in crying. And she's crying, and then they like fix the sink together and get all wet and like show their nipples off.
They get all wet and then they're giggling and then there's a little hug.
That's how
and
you
you're
become
like,
roommates with someone.
I get it. You guys want to, you know, tweak each other's. I was honestly surprised that they did not make out in this movie. I was fully expecting
them.
They do.
Kiss towards the end when she's tied to the chair.
As you are right now.
As I am right now. That's why I'm thinking of it.
Right.
She distracts her by kissing her for a second.
Right. But that was like
it's not like a make out.
I was expecting like the full Black Swan.
Oh, yeah. No, not quite that intense. But yeah, she like kisses her. To it's actually a very clever diversion.
It's a clever ruse by her.
Can we talk about Sam for a second?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he cheats on her with his ex-wife. But from there on out is made out to be a pretty sympathetic character where, you know, at first Allie is like, no, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to take you back. I have a roommate now, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, it turns out, like, oh, he wrote you a letter to apologize. So,
yeah, her getting back with him
back.
Is very it's like, abrupt.
It's
which
very
I think is
strange.
More a problem of just, like, kind of sloppy storytelling than anything. But it happens very abruptly. What I do like about that, though, is that you see that she's engaged because you see her diamond ring, but
yes.
You do not see that scene play out on screen.
Well, I think they were engaged at the start of the movie.
They were, yeah.
Because that's part of the reason why he was talking to his... So Sam cheated on with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And they were, I think, like, he was telling her that she's going to get engaged, and then they slept together. And so that threw Allie off.
So it's like, yeah, but, like, don't get back together with that guy. Allie,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
So they were already engaged. Okay.
They were already engaged. Classic story. Somebody cheats. She takes him back. I mean, hey, some people do that.
Hey, yeah. He gets his.
He does get his.
He gets stabbed in the eye with a high heel
shoe. That is really unexpected.
It's would that have killed him? Would that have killed him?
Maybe if it had like penetrated his brain. But
it goes
feel
deep
like
enough in
you
there.
Have to like
really. I was really surprised
like
that
whack
he
whack him with it. I feel like it takes a little more force.
I was
that.
Surprised that he died immediately, but then somehow the gay best friend didn't die. That was the injuries. Who knows?
A bit confusing.
But I thought for sure the gay best friend is dead. Maybe the fiance will come back to life, but it was the opposite.
You know who survives is the cat.
The cat keeps Graham company
that's
in that bathtub.
True. That was so nice.
And it was
nice.
Very honorable of that cat. That's like, you know, I expected the cat to start eating him. Yeah.
I think that the cat waits a couple days. Isn't that the rule?
It's like something like 4 days for a cat and like
right,
six
right.
days for a dog.
It's like when
like
you
that.
Go on a date with
dogs
someone, you have to wait 3 days to text them back. It's the same with cat. You got to wait.
Wait three days to text them back? That's
what?
The rule now?
I don't know.
That's so mean.
So
I mean, I don't.
I would be like, I thought
I don't
we weren't
subscribe
dating
to it.
Anymore.
I thought we don't.
You were blowing me off. You're ghosting me.
If someone took 3 days, I would fully assume. I'm like, well, this didn't go as well as I thought it did.
Yeah, it's an old rule. I never subscribed to it at all. So
I thought it was like 2 days to call somebody or like text them after you first get their like info.
Maybe.
Oh,
that was
maybe
the rule
like the
I
initial
always said, like the initial like
the
give
initial.
Me your number. You like wait a day.
That makes sense.
Okay.
That one I make that makes it. But like once you hang out with someone, if you have fun with them, I don't know.
Why wait?
Text
why
them
wait?
The next day.
I mean, that's the advantage
we're
of texting.
We're on the brink like, of nuclear war.
Hey,
let's
yeah.
speed things up.
No time to waste.
What, see this? Okay, we're taking a serious detour, but I want to get your opinion on this since we're on the subject.
Oh no.
I feel like I usually, if I'm asking somebody for their number or something, I will text them. I'm not going to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to break up with that person and you've never talked on the phone, do you then call
text?
On the phone or do you
no.
text?
You meet them face to face.
No.
But what if you're not
no.
even at that point?
No.
Oh, if you're not at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If the relationship never went past texting, don't suddenly call because then you know something's wrong. You're like, wait, we don't.
But shouldn't
call
you
each
know
other.
Something is wrong?
No, just they'll know when they read the text. I say this because I very recently did it. I was like, well, we only text each other, so I'm just going to text him and then he'll know. And that is how it went.
I'm saying, like, you're at the stage of, like, still kind of feeling each other out of, like, and the person's like, hey, you want to do something? And then you have to be like, no.
Oh, so if you're still in that stage, yeah. I don't think it warrants a phone call.
But I've definitely, like, heard some people have blowback to that of, like, you're doing this over text.
Oh, see, I would rather they do it over text. I don't. Yeah, I would rather someone, like, if it's a real, like, an actual relationship, mm-hmm. that's different, and, you know, break up with me to my face so you can watch me cry.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Because that's what I need you to see. But if it's just, like, a flirtation, it's like, if you don't want to hang out again, don't tell me with your voice. Ugh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
recovering from breakups is hard, and it's a big part of single white female.
It's true.
She's devastated. When
to
Sam
the point
cheated
where she cries
her.
In like three different scenes.
She cries a lot.
She does. She rips the sheet off her bed.
She's like, no.
Oh, this is how I have to cope with this. My sheet, no. My bed can't have sheets.
I like that. I appreciate. It's like I don't want my bed smelling like this person that cheated on me.
Oh, that is probably.
And
why
they
she
just
did that.
Fucked on it, and mm-hmm. now she's finding out like he fucked some other woman. Yeah, that checked
out. I do love that the reason she finds out is because of an answering machine mishap.
Oh, there's a lot of good answering machine stuff.
Yeah, because when like Jennifer Jason Leigh, she races.
I miss like, answering machines.
What I did like, I think it's one of the very first scenes, is his ex-wife calls, Allie answers, and we're used to seeing in movies, if there's an ex-girlfriend or an ex-wife or something, a very like bitter, petty relationship between the two, like, oh, the ex and the new girlfriend, and they like hate each other and they're jealous of each other. And I like that Allie's just like, oh, it's your ex-wife. Why don't you talk to her?
I think this movie takes a pretty sympathetic view of almost every character, even the fucking sleazebag, like, has a heroic moment.
Oh,
like,
you mean Ned Ryerson?
Oh, my God, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
And his name in this movie is Mitch Meyerson.
Mitch Meyerson. So Stephen Tobolowsky of the popular podcast, The Tobolowsky Files, right? He does that stuff.
Does he have a podcast? Oh, I didn't know that.
That maybe was it's not that such popular. A wild moment. Yeah. Where it's like, is the rapey guy gonna end up
saving
the like, movie?
That's where you're like, they can't do that. They can't make this guy save the day.
Right.
Which they don't.
No.
But
and
like,
and it's fun to
plot
like.
Plot wise, that's insane that they're like, you know how we're gonna get someone to figure
let's
out
let him,
that she was kidnapped. Let's give him a redeeming moment. Yeah.
He's fucking pissed off that she's like trying to get paid for her work.
Right. In a 20 minute segment, not full segment, but both he and Sam shout, "You fucking bitch!" when someone wrongs them.
Yeah, in a sexual manner both
in
times.
In a sexual manner. Oh, I mean, granted, what Jennifer Jason Leigh did was. Fucking
yeah, I want to talk about that.
That I think it qualifies getting called a fucking
That was
bitch.
More justified. But I'm still just like, he shouldn't be back with Bridget Fonda anyways. She shouldn't have taken him back, but I guess that's her problem.
I mean, that's a larger conversation of whether you should take a cheater back. I don't know. I mean, some people do.
We don't know.
We're not here. It, but that's not what this podcast is
I
about.
I wouldn't do
For
it myself.
Say a hard
I
no.
It.
That's a hard no.
But
see,
I
would be like, I don't know. I'm just like, sexuality is fluid, whatever.
Oh,
you
my
fuck
God.
Someone else.
Grow up.
Anyway, what were we talking about? I'm really.
We were talking about Jennifer Jason Leigh's insidious blowjob.
You were talking about how Sam's ex-wife is portrayed sympathetically, but also Hetty at the end of the movie is portrayed. She fucking kills all these people, and they still kind of give her a, like. She's just crazy. Please forget. We could all go crazy.
Right.
Wait, so it's not so much that I was saying that his ex-wife was portrayed sympathetically. It was more that Allie, we don't see her being like this jealous,
yeah, she's,
like this petty
she's not
a,
she's,
woman. I was like, that's nice to see on screen. We're not used to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's comfortable with the fact that he has an ex. Yeah. And as far as the story goes, it makes it that much more devastating that like she should have been fucking.
That's why
upset
being
about it.
Chill is not helpful. If you're chill, someone's fucking someone else.
No,
and you just don't know.
I disagree. I'll never knock being chill.
That's why I'm always on high alert. I'm always like,
no, I don't want to put that out. I'm not putting that out in the universe.
Did you betray me? Likely, yes.
You know what? Probably.
What?
Anyway.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I'm not saying personal. That, like, ouch. Someone, that, like, people are always betraying you. I'm
no,
just
it's
saying
okay.
It
like, I'm very betrayable person.
Everyone betrays
like
everybody.
I somehow just, like, don't. Each other, give each other life notes.
I somehow don't have what it takes to not be betrayed.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that everybody's a piece of shit. Everyone.
Except for me, right?
Except for you.
Okay, thank you. Please tell me I'm perfect.
You are perfect, and I don't even have
thank
to.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I think you're perfect, too.
Oh, Jamie. Oh,
all
right.
God.
Surreal that single wife female
Aristotle,
moment.
Aristotle, you're perfect, too. Ben, we don't know each other.
Yeah,
though.
We don't really
I can't
know.
Say for sure. We don't know.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. I'll let you guys in on my secret.
Well, that's why no. you're yeah. bound.
I'm bound. Waiting for everybody's nipples to get hard.
So, okay, I want to talk about the scene where Hedy forcibly gives Sam a blowjob. Mm-hmm.
Classic scene.
That he,
I would say this is kind of what this movie is known for.
Okay, so that's like the famous...
That's like the famous scene.
Gotcha.
Did I miss how did she get into his hotel room?
Well, she looks so much like Allie. So she... gets obsessed with Allie so much and like her dead twin that she like starts dressing like her. There's a right. great scene where Allie realizes that she and Hedy both have the same clothes now. Allie basically mm-hmm. bought all her same outfits.
Yeah.
Then she went to a hair salon and got an identical short haircut and dyed her hair like orange. Right.
Yeah,
like,
she got the same terrible haircut.
And so then she just swoops into Sam's building, and the security guard is like, lets her in because like
he
just
his apartment.
Yeah, that's his apartment.
Okay, because I assumed it was a hotel.
And
it is called Hotel Atherton, so I get it.
Okay.
Oh, is it a hotel? Well,
I'm not sure.
He's probably just long term staying there because she gave him the boot. They kind of have like that. Hedy just steals a lot of keys. Like, that's just part of her
well,
character.
She's
got
the
keys to fucking everywhere.
She stole the letter that Sam sends to Allie with keys in it. So I think that's how she had access to his.
No, that
keys
was keys
to Allie's
place, like, because he moved out.
Oh.
So what I was assuming is, like, in my head, I justified it by she just, like, went to the doorman and was,
because
and, like,
he recognized
by,
her later, yeah.
And he was,
okay.
Because he called her, like, you know, Mrs. Jones or whatever.
Buzzed her in or something.
Yeah.
What confused me about that scene is that, okay, by the time Sam figures out it's not his fiance, he's about to nut.
Mm-hmm.
I get that he nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost there. I get it.
Okay.
Afterwards... he simply rolls over.
Yeah.
Why
The aftermath of that is really weird.
Very
well, she
confusing.
Gave such an incredible blowjob. He's all out of sorts.
I need a moment.
Well,
and
so
he's also jet lagged. He was just on a trip.
I think you're cutting him a lot of slack there. He rolls over
well,
when he's
I
like,
I think
oh,
you're
this...
cutting him slack by... He knew that it wasn't Allie.
Well, I just think it's a cool choice for him to...
I still think he would cheat on her. I do think that's true.
I give the movie credit that they didn't have, like, it would have been lame if he came and then she popped her head up and it was not his fiance.
Like,
I thought it was cool that, like, he sees her and is like, oh no. And then he's like, oh, I can't stop.
Oh, yeah. I gotta come anyways.
That made it so much.
That was problematic.
So much more tension and, like, and so much more conflict there of, like, okay. She kind of proves his point, like, in
yeah.
her crazy mentality. Like,
we're all
she
just trying to come, guys.
Right.
It's all good.
What?
I wasn't upset that he came. I was upset that he rolled over. I was like, you should kick her out. Like,
yeah.
why are you so
and
quiet?
And then she's, like, feeling his chest as...
Yeah.
And, it's like,
and he's not pushing her.
Yeah.
I thought the choice, like, from either, like, the script or the actor was just, like, to be... He's so... in shock of like, oh no, I just fucked up so bad that he doesn't know what to do.
Right, like just
I almost interpreted it as it was like sort of sexual assault in that like he kind of resisted, but like also kind of didn't.
I
and
think
then
he
like
could argue that it was like
was,
I think that
yeah,
if
he was
had,
raped. He was raped by her.
Like I
kind
like,
of
he was fooled into a blowjob.
Under
which
false
lasted
pretenses.
10 seconds.
He was like, I know
she's,
this helmet
she's
haircut.
Great. She's great. She goes to that S&M club and just fucking sucks dick the whole time.
Oh, the
S&M
club.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. It was like, oh yeah, of course she goes to this. Like, it didn't. It took me forever to figure out it was an S&M club. That was a wild
scene. What a fun movie. It's just, I miss this era of movies. Like, they just don't make weird movies like this. And this was a commercial movie.
And this is like a mainstream Columbia. Yeah.
I'm so surprised it's not more famous.
I want to make other people watch this movie. I really did enjoy it.
I do like when there was some element of weird sexual tension and just like movies being a little bit more risque, which they aren't now. They're all pretty watered down. I mean, there's more risque stuff on cable, but it's just...
Well, something interesting about this...
Pretty tame when you go to the movies.
Something interesting about this movie to me was like that... I mean, I feel like if this movie was made now, because a very, very similar version of this movie that I did see that was very bad called The Roommate came out when I was in college, and it was about a college roommate.
Right.
So we all
read that that movie was criticized for copying this movie.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like basically the same movie, but way worse. It's weird. I feel like if people made this movie right now, it would be like stigmatized for like, well, mental health and first of all, I love mental health. I realized that I had a bipolar pill lodged in my laptop when I took it out. However, if that were the basic like yardstick, then there wouldn't be movies like the one where Kathy Bates goes nuts or the one where Glenn Close goes nuts.
Mm-hmm. Misery, Fatal Attraction. You know what else I think kind of male version of this movie is Cable Guy.
True.
Like pretty similar.
I've never seen Cable Guy.
And it's like unfortunate, but I really do enjoy all of those movies where someone just fucking goes nuts. Yeah. And those don't come out very much anymore, I feel like, for that reason.
Right.
I don't know. Problematic opinion by Jamie.
I feel like I see, like I said before, a single white female relationships pop up here and there of like, you realize your roommate's dressing exactly like you now or picking up all these qualities. Like you can see that amongst a bunch of friends where it starts to get a little stalkery. And I find it fascinating. And I do feel like this movie kind of hits something in that zone that is real.
Yeah, it's all exaggerated, but it's so, I don't know. I was put off by way less of it than I expected to be put off by.
But we were talking about a scene where she goes to, she follows Hetty, Allie follows Hetty to an S&M club, and she's very uncomfortable there. And some woman comes on to her and is like, says something like, you want to play or something like that. I can't remember what exactly she says. And then she sees Hetty hitting on a guy that looks just like Sam. And she's like, you look like my sister's fiance. And it's just a really nice extra creepy layer that you throw on there.
Oh, it's and then like people... Doesn't someone call Hetty Allie in that scene? Am I making that up?
I think a few people are like, "Oh, I thought you were like." I think Graham, the gay friend upstairs, does.
Graham, I loved Graham. At first, I thought I didn't know. At first, when Graham is overhearing Sam and Allie break up the first time at the beginning of the movie, I was like, "Oh, this guy is a weird person who lives upstairs."
Yeah.
But then he turned out to be this amazing guy who in like the end of the second act is like, by the way, I hear you fuck a lot.
The fucking listening through the vents ends up being an important story point.
Plant and pay.
But
off,
it turns
maybe
out she didn't know, because apparently Graham either doesn't fuck a lot or goes to a second location. Yeah. We don't know. Yeah.
Graham's a class act.
He's a class act.
I mean, he fucks real quietly out of respect for his neighbors.
Classy people fuck in silence.
Uh-huh.
Well, he mentions at the beginning that he doesn't have a guy to fuck. So he's like, I'm single.
We want a Graham spinoff movie.
I know. Single, gay man.
Somebody write some Graham fan fiction where it's Graham and his cat. And he's talking about all the crazy people who've been in and out of this building.
Graham truly is, first, an amazing friend.
Yeah.
Like, he calls his psychologist friend at, like, 11 at night and was like, listen, there's a situation going on with my friend. I'll put her on. And then I'm glad that he wasn't murdered.
Yeah.
In the end.
He survives, right?
Yeah, he
does survive.
He saves her.
Does the...
And I did see that the writer of the movie is gay, and I'm curious if he's projecting himself onto Graham a little bit, and that's why he's like sort of this very noble, heroic figure.
That makes a lot of sense, because I was shocked that the gay character lived until the end. Like, once she entered his apartment, that's why I thought that the fiancé was going to live and not Graham, because I feel like, you know,
if you play by the basic rules of thrillers, you definitely expect Sam to live. I also liked, because you guys were talking about whether Sam would really die if he got a heel through his eyeball.
Mythbusters.
But I thought it was cool. Just like, I think it's a visually cool way to kill somebody, just as a movie trope.
Especially because those specific shoes.
Yes, that's like what I was going to say.
To step on your line.
No, but like they show off the shoes in a really weird way, where like the heel, it looks like a knife, and it has menacing quality about it. And so it kind of pays off when it goes through his eyeball. Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of like plan payoff situations like that in this movie that I think are done pretty well. And like when you said that you thought that Graham was going to be like a creepy person, one of the reasons I like this movie and think it's pretty good is that it manipulates expectations a lot.
Totally.
To make you think one thing and then something else.
Yeah,
happens.
I like movies that play into like, you've seen a bunch of movies we're going to play against that.
Yeah.
It was good because it was like genuinely like the earliest indication that, because I truly had no context for this movie, and like the earliest indication you get is the music. Like even before you know that Jennifer Jason Leigh is crazy, you hear that she's crazy in the music and then you see it. But it like, I don't know, it unfolds kind of cool.
The way she kind of like sneaks up on her right as she enters the apartment, like doesn't knock on the door, just like comes in, Allie's crying on the floor. She gets like super close to her before she is like, hey, I'm here. Yeah. That was sort of like the first indicator that there was something off about her. But it takes a while after that before you see any more like alarming behavior from
her. You almost get why Allie was befriending her, because she's vulnerable. She needs a friend.
Allie gets busted going through her shit. Allie's the creepy one
was great.
We're like, that's a great, you
I
know,
forgot about that.
Like, yeah, she's going through her shit and like
putting on her clip-on earrings.
Yeah. I think I might love this movie.
I have such a funny choice. I'm like, Hetty's got clip-on earrings that she's going to give you as a present.
Was so touched. She was like, really? You want to give me your clip-ons?
And you're right. It pays off a lot of stuff well that it sets up earlier, which actually made me sad for the current state of a lot of movies, where I feel like things are just so much lazier now than they used to be. Like the when they insert that shot of her throwing away the receipt from the pet store when she bought the dog, just to have the lie of her being like, I found the dog. They were giving it away.
Yeah,
it was like such a small thing for like just another, like she's already clearly crazy, and like they did a great job of showing us that.
Yeah,
like,
but they literally show you the receipts.
Yeah, they're like, she's crazy. Are really checking off every box of like back when, I don't know, they probably did focus groups for this and be like, where'd she get the dog from? And they're like, ah.
When they cared.
I did feel like, oh, they really give a fuck about this B movie.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
It's a fucking thriller that like knows what it is, but like they really care about it.
Oh, we haven't talked about the weird bald guy rapes scene yet. Like, we talk about when he comes back as the
hero.
Almost hero of the entire movie. But the scene where, like, you know that he's...
You know he's a creep.
You know, moment one, because he basically humiliates Bridget Fonda at the beginning, which, you could argue is a business power move, but he's, like, it was humiliating
for
her.
He would have never talked that way if she was a man.
Exactly.
He would have that conversation would have gone entirely differently.
Right. And then, but he interpreted humiliating her as, like, I probably made her pretty horny just then by really just crushing her spirit.
Even that has a good sort of high and low to it of they set you up, you don't like him, but she does such a great job that he's like, this is great. Like, you're really good. And so she lets him in a little bit. He takes advantage of that and then is a creep. But then that information from when... She was like, here's my other number so we can talk about it later of my neighbor. Here's my neighbor's phone number.
Yeah.
And that ends up being important.
Uh-huh.
It is crazy because, you know, you could very easily assume that once he's an asshole to her at the beginning and then the, you know, the second time you encounter him, he's like, wow, you did a great job. That could very easily be like, and that's it for that character. Yeah. That was his purpose.
Right.
But then when he comes back in that, I wanted to just zoom in on his face for that entire weird, lecherous scene where he's like, so, you know, like just a very creepy massage. And Bridget Fonda does a great job of seeming very upset that it's happening, and you know she's gonna like beat him up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like he's not, you know.
I like how she gives this,
I
like
beat him up
volleyball like puts clasps her hands. Yeah. And just sorry,
and then, no, that helped, that really illustrated it because
the listeners at home, yeah,
we needed that, you
that
needed to hit the mic.
That was a volleyball noise.
Nearly knocked the mic over to sorry, demonstrate the move.
But yeah, he immediately goes into, he rubs her down for a second and is immediately expecting a blowjob. And is right. Like just fucking whipping his, busting his dick out.
I want to use that line now. Can I at least turn around?
I mean,
very
smart.
Romantic.
And he fell for it. What a dumb idiot.
And I also want to use that volleyball move at some
point.
Yeah,
just pulling mash a guy in the balls.
Twice the power.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, you bitch. But then he saves the day later. He's like, you know what? I'm actually a pretty good guy.
Okay.
I'm a pretty good
guy.
I'm
a rapist, but I'm not bad.
I tried to rape you, but guess
what?
Well,
then he has to leave. He's like kind of raping someone. Like
he's kind of raping someone else.
He's doing the same fucking back rub move later. And is like his older secretary, which was another great casting choice. And that's even fun.
Yeah.
Because she's like, he's like, shut off all the computers right now. And she just leans back because she like wants it because she fucking hates him too.
Yeah. Oh my God. That guy's story is crazy because then Jennifer Jason Leigh calls him and is, you know, like we found out
Hedy
he has a wife.
Calls his wife and like pretends to be
and
Allie.
She's like, you know, like you're going to be in big trouble if you ever say anything. And but then just insane to me. I wonder if that happens in the book. Insane to me that he comes, that he's like half redeemed when he's like, this guy is bad. Just kidding. He's fine. Just kidding. He's a rapist. But he might also save the day. But also, he's dead now.
I really like how it's all real-world struggles to me and all shit that I feel like everybody can empathize with, where it's like, she's got a fucking amazing apartment that's cheap, and they want to hold on to it at all costs.
Yeah.
And there's a huge source of agony for her, where she doesn't want to kick her out, but she has to because it's a fucking great place. And then she's like got her own business, and she's got all this work stress. And then it's like job stress, relationship stress, housing stress. It's like the shit everybody deals with, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie's about.
It's true.
She just happened to get a crazy roommate.
It's the other, the scene, the last time I'll mention the rapey guy, unless we have more reason to.
Mitch.
Is Mitch.
Oh, I'm going to keep calling him Ned.
Mitch. Ryerson. Mitch Meyerson.
Yeah. But the scene after that happens, I thought was very, like, I don't know, like it was very well written to me, like right before Hedy calls his wife and you're like, oh yeah, she's crazy. But that scene where Allie is saying, like, oh, it's actually my fault, and, like, now this is going to sabotage my career because I, you know, rightfully volleyballed this guy in the nuts for being a rapist, but she's like, you know, and this is somehow going to ruin my business. And that felt like, I was like, whoa, that's a very real moment in the movie because, that's not an atypical reaction to being, you know, like assaulted, and it's also probably not an atypical reaction to what actually would have happened.
Yeah.
And so that was weird. And that was sort of a moment where I was like, if I was Allie, I would be pro Hedy at that moment when, you know, when she was saying like, what, you're not going to do something about this? It's clearly not your fault. And it's like, okay, Hedy, I'm with you. And then she does something fucking crazy and then kills like five
killing
people.
The dog definitely was like the irredeemable thing that she does. So
but
the
she doesn't kill the
really...
cat, so I like her.
What does Kathy Bates kill? She kills something.
In Misery?
Yeah.
She
Glenn Close kills.
Oh, a
Glenn
rabbit.
Close kills a rabbit.
Glenn Close kills a rabbit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Glenn Close.
She boils it in a pot.
She's a wild child. I love her. I love Damages. We should all watch it.
Fatal Attraction, I feel like, is started to get the ball rolling of what leads to single white female.
That's true, because Fatal Attraction is what, like 88, 89, something like that, a few years before?
Yeah, oh, so it's good. Yeah, the late 80s, early 90s was the time for this genre of thriller.
It's very good.
I want to talk about the longest time watching this movie, I was like, oh, there's so much female nudity. There's just so many nipples, so many naked lady bodies. Let's see some dick. It's not going to happen. But it happens. We see a sliver.
You see a sliver of Steven Weber's dick.
Yeah.
Oh,
you see
I was.
Some of Sam, when he, like, because he does whip dick? Out of bed after he gets his blowjob, and he's upset. And you get a little full frontal action in there.
Man, I saw his butt, and I was like, oh, that's you good. You like got a good butt.
Actually, I like all the nudity in it, because even the female nudity, it's not necessarily, like, sexual in a couple of the scenes. It's just, like, it's...
Just nips.
People are naked.
Nips on nips on nips.
Which I think there should be more nudity in movies.
Everyone should be naked all the time.
I just think in a realistic way, because it definitely plays into, like, she gets naked around her and Allie's weirded out by how often Hetty just, like, takes her shirt off and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always think it's weird when, like, two characters are in bed and they're not naked. Like, just you're an actor being naked. And I think that, and I'm not trying to sound like a fucking sleazebag dude.
Porn ring. Yeah.
But it's like, because, like, no, it's the same thing.
You're
like,
an actor. Get naked. Yeah.
Get naked. You're in the picture.
You want to be in the movie? You want to be in the talking picture? You take your top off.
Nobody sits in bed like that. Ice your nips.
Here's an ice cube. You do the rest.
My favorite is when there's a sex scene in the movie and the actress is, like, clearly not agreed to show any nudity. So, like, she's got her bra on while they're just banging it out. That's how you say it, right?
If it were realistic, everyone would be naked except the man is, for some reason, wearing socks still.
Mm.
That's how sex really goes.
No, yeah. For me, sex is as clothed as possible and zero eye contact.
Well, for sure, zero eye contact. Let's not ruin the experience by remembering.
Don't look
who
at my tears.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that we saw some dick. That was nice.
I'm gonna go back.
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
Is it worth the peek?
Not really.
I mean, almost got a computer virus watching the movie. Okay. Never mind.
I had to subscribe to a 1 week free trial of Stars via Amazon.
Okay, just I rented it. I rented it on iTunes. Oh, I'm the only one supporting this town.
This town. Oh yeah, because Porn Ring is run out.
Yeah.
Of here. Hey, ladies.
All right, these guys all worked hard on this movie that we all liked, and I'm the only one.
We pulled Ben off the street. He was barking at women on the street.
Smile.
You want to be a star?
Let me see that smile.
I got some ice cubes.
Like that walk.
Oh God. The other thing. The other thing I want to talk about is, and I don't even know if it's worth mentioning, but a lot of the movie, it wouldn't have played out the way it had Allie not been so nice and or naive.
For sure, yeah.
She's so accommodating to Hetty that it's almost infuriating. I'm like, she's bought all your clothes and that she...
But that feels that felt kind of real to me too, of like she's really trying to make the best out of this situation, where I feel like it'd be possible for some audience members to sort of switch to Hetty's side at any point by being like, well, Allie was kind of mean to her at this moment or this moment, and like, but Allie's so overly nice to her, even at the very end where Allie's like, I'm still trying to forgive her and blah blah blah. I was like till the very end she's absolutely too nice and forgiving to everyone.
I am truly shocked that the ending is her thinking about how she's going to try to forgive the woman that almost murdered her best friend and did murder her fiancé.
Right.
And killed her dog.
Killed her dog.
Gave and killed her a dog. Killed her a dog. I'm going to kill you a dog.
You kill your dog. Hey, dog, you want to be a star?
Here's
a fucking ice cube.
I do like that. That's just surprised me. And, I mean, she has no friends. She's trying to get over this breakup.
It's just,
also another weird
thing.
She's
in the fashion industry-ish.
The fashion computer software
hotties.
Industry.
Also in that ending segment, there's a weird reference to Graham saying, like, Sam's dead, get over it, basically. Of like, I spent a while mourning Sam, but Graham said I had to move on. I was like, is that really what you say to your best friend after they were murdered by the same person you were almost murdered by? Graham.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm just remembering after she thinks she killed Graham and Allie walks in on her in the shower and it's like really weird. And then she stares at her bloody clothes and she blames it on her period.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, oh, yeah. I didn't.
She's like, do you want tea? Even then, she's like, when she's trying
to
escape.
Are you cramping? Yeah, you're cramping? Because tea can help that. I was like, that was a sink full of blood. And she was,
it's
like,
so much blood.
She's like, it always happens when I'm wearing my
nice clothes. Are you not supposed to bleed that much when you're on your period? Oh,
it always,
no.
Yeah, you just wring it out into your sink until it clogs. Like, what the fuck was that? She clotted their bathroom sink.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
No, I can totally
with
relate.
Her womanhood.
I'm a very nice person, so I like really get it.
Oh, I thought you were saying I'm a very heavy
I bleed so much.
Gallons every time.
I think OJ was innocent. She bled to death. She just got a really bad period.
OJ
that
innocent.
Night.
Robert
I just
Thurston
started
innocent.
Watching. I just started watching The People versus OJ. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, it's good. You got to watch the ESPN documentary.
I'm gonna watch that as well.
Yeah. I've seen it twice.
Nice.
I'm gonna watch it again.
So, yeah, I guess it boils down to just the relationship between these two characters is so complex and interesting. Like, we got this nice lady who just, like, wants to be nice and accommodating. We got this woman with a personality disorder that also makes her homicidal. What? Put them together and what do you, like,
it's
what?
A good, it's a good advertisement for mental health care.
Yeah,
true. Her parents care what happens to her.
Yeah, they tried to help her out.
It wasn't like a parental neglect thing.
Even the weirdo at
They're sending her checks?
The cash checks.
That horny cashier.
Yeah, her boss is like, your dad's calling here.
He says he's going to come on down to New York City if you don't get your shit together. And she's like, I've got to go.
She's like, you're an actress, right?
You're an actress. Yeah.
I like it.
I love it.
Ooh, it looks good.
I do.
She's like, maybe I'm going to go blonde. She's like, oh, my God.
Then she comes. Oh, my God, I'm coming. Coming on the clock. Very cool. But then I also just like on a very basic level, like the fact that even though we don't necessarily know what Allie's job is, she is both clearly very good at her job, owns her own business, and is a nice person, where I feel like that is not where most movies go. If a woman's good at her job, she's usually not nice.
Right. We've all seen The Devil Wears Prada.
2 weeks notice, etc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was an interesting portrayal. I liked. They made a lot of choices that I really was on board with in that respect.
I really liked this movie.
Yeah. Everyone watch it. I'm
Fine single white female.
Have
start,
we ever?
Start referencing it so I'm not alone.
Yeah, because 100%. I wonder what the percentages of people.
I've definitely
who
said,
don't know what
like,
it is.
Said something along the lines of, like, she's single white femaling you.
I don't
and
know what
no
I would think if you said that
about.
To me. I would just be like, wow, this guy hates single white females.
He hates
single
women.
White femaling you. Mm-hmm. Move out.
Do you have a lot of friends who've had horrible situations like that that you're having to
dropping it constantly?
Drop that reference all the time?
Yeah, I've definitely been in Sam's position a time.
You can't stop banging your ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. She's got her hooks on me. I keep going to her place to tell her I'm with somebody new, and she keeps seducing me.
And then
I love
her
how he talks that off, though. He's like, she was sad.
Yeah, she was drunk.
So I fucked her. Like, it's like, Sam, you rascal. Yeah. I don't like that.
What I do like is that
slap, slap, slap.
Oftentimes, a woman who is like the other party of a cheating situation is
Lisa.
The one who's like targeted to be like, you're the villain, you homewrecker, you awful person. But she's like never seen on screen. We don't even mention her again.
We hear her
really.
Once. We hear her. She's like, is Sam there?
But I like that all of Allie's anger is targeted toward Sam.
Until it's immediately not.
Until it's not anymore.
So she's like, wait, he sent me a letter?
He showed up unannounced.
He sent me a letter?
They're fucking making out and like about to fuck. And then
And meanwhile, Hetty's watching in the window, and the old lady spots her.
Yeah, I forgot about
the old lady from, like, who's been an old lady in 100 movies.
She started acting, you know, she was in 400 movies from ages, like, 67 to 72. She's just a prolific, like.
God, I can't wait to go on her IMDb, because I'm sure it's all, like, old neighbor.
Yeah.
Old lady, old librarian.
Where was Hetty's? We saw Hetty at work once, didn't we?
She works at a bookstore?
Hetty works at a bookstore, yeah.
She does. Okay. Yeah. Well, I feel stigmatized.
Do you work at a bookstore?
What do you mean? As a psychopath who's worked at a bookstore, I feel stigmatized.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, you probably haven't also listened to this episode of the podcast, because we spoil the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, you should have listened to this. Yeah, if you, oh man, you made a huge mistake. I do like at the end of the movie that they insinuate if you don't forgive the person that wronged you, you will become them.
That is that implication.
Yeah, that is kind of the
lesson.
Which
is really a weird lesson for
You know what? I kind of want to see Allie as a crazy person. Was there a sequel? Let's see.
There was a sequel that came out like 10 years ago that was like a direct-to-video type thing. Yeah.
The last thing I want to say is that we do see like there's a short beat where Graham kind of saves Allie whenever.
Why couldn't he have saved Allie instead of the rapist?
Well, he does. Little, I think he does.
But if he'd woken up like 10 minutes earlier, that whole weird situation would have been avoided.
They had to draw out the tension.
Yeah, they had to draw out the rapist is there to draw out the tension. And it led to the big like trailer moment that I remember of him ripping the tape off her face, and it's a close up of Bridget Fonda, and she says, "Look out, she's crazy."
Yeah.
Wait. So whenever Ned Ryerson goes to confront her, he never gets into the apartment, right? Like the neighbor or the landlord or something shoos them away, or does he get in?
He gets in.
He does get in.
Yeah, because that's actually another. Oh God,
he finds her.
She goes to the basement to get Allie's bags, and she crawls into it to see if she can fit a body in there.
Yes.
And then she brings the bag back up.
She's deliberate.
And Mitch, of course, notices that it has Allie's name on it, and so he barges his way in and locks her out. Right.
But I also can't imagine speaking that way to a stranger, like, you do know her. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then he goes in and just like a series of big reactions from Mitch Meyerson saying like, you know, he's like, you do know her. And he pushes in and he goes, what the fuck? And then he straddles the woman he almost raped three days ago.
Yeah, that would have been really fucked up if he was like, now I got you.
Time to finish what I started. I'm a fucking pervert. I wasn't too upset when he got whacked.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to be sad about it.
Whacked as in like mobster style killed or like whacked over the head? I forget what happens. I didn't get to this.
He was whacked over the head, right? He was whacked.
Yeah, I feel like it's a pretty vague way that he dies.
Mm. Okay.
Ooh, steampunk check. This is the first movie we've ever talked about that does not have.
I was wondering if you would be able to shoehorn a steampunk thing in here.
No steampunk culture in this movie, which is probably why you like this movie. That's why I like it. And also, I think this movie predates steampunk culture.
That is true.
I was in San Francisco again this week, and I saw the steampunk guy again.
Oh, no, the accordion pants guy?
The accordion pants guy with all the
steampunk
sweet.
On every episode.
Okay. There's a guy in San Francisco who I was so mad. I went to the same. I remember the cross streets. I'm like, let me go back and see if he's still there. And fucking, of course, it's a Monday. He's still there.
Oh, sure.
Grow up.
I know I'm like having a very hard time arriving at a point, but I swear I did have one that I like that she ends up ultimately saving herself. Like there's that brief moment where like Graham kind of steps in, but then I feel like he gets hit or something, and that
Graham gets hit a lot.
So then Hetty takes her to the basement, and then they have that fight down there. So I like that like she doesn't have to be saved by a man. She saves herself.
I like that she throws a rat on Hetty.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no, she's going to squeal at the rat and then she's going to be caught. But she has the foresight to be like, let me throw the rat on my enemy.
Yeah, she does wind up being unbelievably strong. Like, she does some pretty acrobatic stuff.
She's a software developer.
When she flips over the back and stabs
her. That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty great.
She's a software developer for the fashion industry. Of course she's strong.
She can do anything.
They set up that screwdriver for a while too.
Yeah, that is a huge one of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah. anyone else have any final thoughts about the movie?
I liked this movie so much.
Yeah. Thanks for introducing it to us.
Yeah.
Hey, my pleasure. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on
this
to talk about it.
This literally never happened.
I know. The final thing we need to talk about is whether or not the movie passes the Bechdel test. Duh, it does.
For sure.
Yeah, in almost every scene. Mm-hmm. Good job, movie. Yay. A lot of the ones we've talked about don't even
Most
try.
Movies don't.
Don't attempt it. Time for nipples.
We rate the movie on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of the women.
It's like a show about like women, so we rate it on a nipple scale.
I like the odd number of nipples. Okay.
Yeah, that's how a human body works.
Well, okay.
Five sets of nipples?
Five.
No. So 10 nipples total?
5 nipples.
Okay. 5.
We've all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. We're just not always
Those
lactating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Unless some of us are.
All right.
What are the types of animals that like their penis will like withdraw into their body? Like whales? It's like that for some people's
That's also
nipples.
Human menace.
Just like... sometimes women's nipples just shrink into
Recede.
Their body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I aspire to have no nipples one day. It's another one of my bucket list things. I'm going to flip a table. What was the other thing?
If you just got to go. Just suck your nipples right in.
It's really a mind over matter kind of thing. I'm going to think my nipples away. That's
and then,
the
like,
name
you
got to
pop them back out.
Book. I'm going to write a self-help book.
Please pop your nipples out. Oh. God, I miss them. Just hold your breath and let them. And you gotta go.
I'm gonna write a self-help book called "Think Your Nipples Away."
Please do. I'll buy it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Oh, okay. You go first in rating it.
I would give this movie because it has such an interesting representation of like the relationships and a lot of tropes that we see, especially of this genre, are subverted and things like that. I would give this movie. Like a 4 nipples?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
I'm giving it 4 nipples.
Wait, I have to describe the nipples.
Yeah, we have to
describe them.
Oh, fun. All right.
You sound rude, but has a real half-assed fun.
Okay,
it's fun.
Anyway,
I'm
excited to describe my nipples.
Mm. Okay.
The two of them belong to Allie.
Empowered.
Yeah.
Polite.
Very empowered nipples. They're very nice.
Uh-huh.
She's beautiful.
Very accommodating.
Yeah, New York and cool.
Mm-hmm.
New York and cool?
Uh-huh.
And then the other two belong, they're 4 nice nipples. I give up.
You don't want to talk about Hetty's nipples? Is that where this is going?
You
Her
don't
kind
like
of,
BPD nips?
They're not as nice as Allie's. I mean, that's part of the story.
Right.
Well, but like are they? Well, we see both of them. They look about, I think we see Hetty's nipples more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hetty's naked a lot in this movie.
She's naked a lot, and she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
She's a hot babe.
I'm for it.
Into it.
I'm giving it 4 nipples.
You're going to give her 2 nipples, 4 nipples?
I'm giving her 2 nipples, 4 nipples.
Wow. I'm going to give it 4 nipples as well.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them belong to Hetty's dead twin. 2 of them belong to Allie's computer program nipple ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Your turn.
Okay, I'm giving 2 to the old neighbor. Who
Good
was
representation.
You know, important.
Yeah, we see
Hetty,
a woman over 50.
Uh-huh. Hetty, I'm, you know what? Yeah, let's give them to both women over 50. I don't know if Mitch's secretary was, but she's definitely, you know, one of the older characters in the movie.
It's true.
And I'm giving her my other 2 nipples.
Are there any people of color in this movie?
No.
Very white.
It is
very,
a very
white.
But I'm, and this is not to defend a lack of representation, but there we really only know 5 or 6 characters in this entire movie. The cast is very small.
Yeah, but you can,
you
know,
can,
you
no,
can
you
easily
can.
Make Graham a person of color.
It's true. And then if he lives, that would be a double victory.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it.
This was a fun
Thanks.
One.
Yeah. This was fun.
Yeah.
We are now. Can now untie you.
Well, let's save the noises. It's so loud.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks again for being here.
Oh, thanks.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Where can people find you on Twitter?
Yeah. I mean, the first part of your question, no, I don't really.
Okay.
I don't really have anything to plug. You can go to my mostly unused social media. I'm Ben_Rogers on Twitter.
Follow
me. I tweet like, I don't know, once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting off the internet. I'm done.
We're about to
quit the internet.
Push Ben off into the sea on an iceberg. Mm-hmm. Mm. This was his last stand.
Yeah, this is it for me. Well, this is a good send off.
Well, you went out on a high.
Yeah, I want my last words to be about single white female.
I tweeted too much about my hamster on Valentine's Day. It got pointed out to me.
Oh,
it's okay. We had a fun night.
It got pointed out to you. Somebody's like, hey, we got to talk about your hamster thing.
Hey, we're worried. Did you spend all night with your hamster on Valentine's Day? No. I also watched The Jinx at my gay best friend's house. So grow up.
Tone it down on the hamster shit.
So I would never show my hamster The Jinx. She is too young.
Oh.
You can follow me on Twitter at HamburgerPhone.
Yeah, you can follow me at Caitlin Durante. You can also follow the podcast at Bechdelcast.
We use it. We're not like the other shows that are like, follow us on Twitter and then we don't tweet anything. Yeah. We tweet stuff.
We tweet a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Not like me. Not some schmuck like me. Yeah, don't follow Rogers. Me. Follow these guys.
Follow us.
Yeah.
We got hamsters and content.
They'll entertain you. Me, I just want to... I'm like... try not to write about things I'm angry about. I try not to be a 65-year-old angry grandfather.
Speaking of angry grandfathers on Twitter, my dad has more Twitter followers than me yet again.
What?
I had him beat for a solid 6 months, and then he had some sort of surge, and now he has 6,500 followers on Twitter. It's fucking wild.
He's buying them. He's buying them.
I wish I could give him that much credit.
He's outsmarting you.
He broke some news about the Boston Bruins, and then suddenly he's got like 1,400 more followers.
Is he a journalist? How does he have so many followers?
Yeah, he's a hockey reporter.
Oh, I see.
So whenever something hockey happens, he gets a surge. It's not fair.
It's hard to compete with that.
It's not fair.
Buy some followers.
I'm going to buy followers and be like, fuck you, Dad.
All right. Well, I think this is a great note to end the podcast on.
Don't follow.
Fuck
Loftus
you, Dad.
At Ledger.
Bye, everybody.
Loftus at Ledger. Unfollow and block.
Fuck you, Dad. Here's my podcast about women.
Unfollow and block Mike Loftus.
Okay. Well, thanks again, everyone. Thanks for listening. See you later.
Unfollow and block.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com.